gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a day. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Hello and welcome back to the B Set. I'm Nick Burney. My voice is a little bit better this week. Hooray, as I bring you in. But Randwick again, Five Diamonds prelude week. Look, obviously last week was outstanding. Big grand final day, but still lots of big meetings to come. Yes, this is probably a quieter week of the carnival, but I still think there's a lot of value in the meeting. How did you see it?
It is a bit of a come down, isn't it, Nick? But it's probably a good thing that it's not as intense. And
yeah.
But as you say, it doesn't matter whether it's an Everest or a Benchmark 78, they still pay the same.
That's right.
So
price is a price.
To us anyway, maybe not quite to the owners, but to us. And look, it's a good day. We'll have a good track. Fields are solid. The Five Diamonds Prelude and the Big Dance Wildcard have got, big competitive fields. So I think the challenge is there for us in a few of those later races particularly. And we've got a few really interesting horses going around, despite the fact that it's not really sort of a headline day, as you'd call it. So, yeah, let's get stuck in.
Yeah, the rail in the 5 metres, I think it'll play quite even. There's a couple of data points. The last meeting in that 5 metres was even. There was a meeting in December last year where it was probably hard to lead and sweep wide, so you wanted to have cover, but I think that was more wind-related than anything. So the way the Metropolitan tracks on the Saturdays have been playing, I think they've been fantastic and really good tracks to bet into.
Yeah, well, good tracks are good tracks, and that little bit of rain we had during the week probably is handy.
Yep.
For Randwick, it was on the border of a 5 and a 4 as of about lunchtime on Thursday, so I'd imagine we'd be comfortably in the 4 range, and hopefully it stays there, and that'll give every horse its chance.
Yeah, hope I haven't put the mock on there.
You're not that powerful.
Okay, the headline act, of course, is the Five Diamonds Prelude for $1 million. A couple of market moves throughout the week. How did you land on the race?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. Obviously, for 5-year-olds, 1,500 metres. Look, I'm going to go with the form. We've got a few different form lines here to dissect, I guess. We've got some Epsom form. We've got the Alan Brown Stakes from Rose Hill a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to lean to the Alan Brown as the form reference here, and I'm going to put Coda Heel on top. He's been excellent. He's pumped into Cepheus his past two starts in the South Grafton Cup and then the Alan Brown, and just missed on both occasions. What I like about Coda Heel's chances is there's almost certainly going to be a decent tempo here. He's drawn a nice soft gate that allowed him to settle about midfield. He's at his best when he's allowed to be saved up for about a 200 metre sprint. So if we saw that when he won at Rose Hill back, I think in last May, last preparation. Yeah. Like, he didn't really see daylight until the last 100 metres, and he just screamed past them. That's when he's at his best. So I feel like he gets that scenario to just ambush something in the last 200 metres. Obviously, Democracy Manifest does loom a little bit large over this race. He probably should have at least run a place in the Epsom.
Yeah.
He was third at about the 100 metre mark, hard up against the fence, and just ended up running onto the heels of the leader there. Sorry, I can't remember whether it was Rodina who was in front at the time or...
Yeah, Golden Mile.
Oh, sorry, Golden Mile, that's right. How quickly we forget.
There's only been 60 million races since then.
So look, he's in great form, but we know him very well. We know he will get back into the second half of the field, and he will look to storm home. So you know what you're going to get with him. The couple others I've got in my numbers are Faulkner Park and Altivo. Now, Altivo's been nightmare stuff his couple of runs back. He's up in grade. And Faulkner Park was that horse in the sort of mid to late winter that just kept winning and kept coming through the grades. And then in his two defeats, he was just set impossible tasks.
Yeah.
So he's freshened up and back to 1,500 metres. Obviously, the Five Diamonds will be his main aim.
Yeah.
So that's the way I saw the race. Coda Heel on top. Semi-confident. The horse I couldn't place was Converge.
Yeah.
The reason for that is he was okay first up in the Bill Ritchie as favourite behind Rodina. Then he went into the Epsom, obviously also won by Rodina. And I don't know where he would have finished, But at around about the 300 metre mark, he just got squeezed right out.
Yep.
And that accounts for a large portion of his 13th place in the race. So he, I don't think he's in the first three, but he certainly doesn't finish 13th. So there's two of him. There's the Converge that ran third to Animo and Fangirl, beaten less than half a length in a George Ryder.
Yeah, he was fantastic last prep in Queensland too. Like he's
and ran, right, think about it, to three quarters of a length.
Yep.
In the Kingsford Smith Cup. So his best is right in it, but it's a massive take on trust. So how did you find the
race? I've seen this extremely very similar. I think Coda Hill should be favourite personally. I think, as you said, the Alan Brown was a really strong rating race, so I'm happy to follow the horses coming out of that. And as we all know, it should have won. Just got held up at that vital stage. But once it did get clear, as you said, it gets that daylight for that furlong. It really surged to the line. I think it probably was a bit of a target race, that Alan Brown, for it.
A million and a half is easy to target.
Yeah, I know, that's right. That's what it's turned into. But look, I think, as you said, smothered away, barrier five just gets that opportunity to come out and just go bang again. Democracy Manifest, it's definitely in my numbers, but I think I'm happy to not half risk it, but I think it's just, I'm happy just to where it's going to get to on the map, rather than getting that suck run that it did in its last two starts. Converge, I agree with you. $10 is starting to look a little bit appetizing. And Faulkner Park, I had second pick. Look at its SP profile. It's only 61 days between runs, so that doesn't really concern me. It's got the residual fitness. And you just, looking at the race, it does, if there's going to be one that comes out of the pack late, down the outside, it is the one for me. I really do think that Faulkner Park, just fresh, 1250 metre trial. But yeah, I think Coda Hill easily on top. I think it should be favourite and the better the race. If you wanted to play each way, I think you still get evens the place there. So
yeah,
I think that's probably the way to play the race. Head to head, Cepheus versus Unspoken. So another really good race. So I think Cepheus went up favourite, but Unspoken's now been backed into about the $2.70 favourite now. But they're right at the top of the market fighting out the favouritism. Which way did you lean, or have you gone something different?
I ummed and ahed over this for a little while, and I decided that I'm sick of tipping against Cepheus. he's just racing in superb form. He's tough. He carried 62 to win the South Grafton Cup, beating Coda Hill back in July. And his two wins, this preparation, the Shannon and obviously the Alan Brown, he's had the benefit of great runs, which probably helps when you've got a carrying weight. And he just continues to race well. I can't fault him. He's going to get a great run again, you know, just in that sort of fourth, fifth kind of spot in the race. And while he's got 61, he's giving a lot of weight to some horses here. He has to be hard to beat. I'm going to be a little negative on Unspoken. I've got him in the numbers, obviously. What I tried to talk myself into there for a while was Knight's Choice,
yeah,
number 12. Now, he comes out of a benchmark 94 won by Airman on Epsom Day, and he found that way too short.
Yeah.
He was back last, scrubbed along at the home turn, but he did pick up quite nice ground in the last 100 metres or so. So jumping quickly to the 1600 metres, he won the Winx Guineas, obviously, at the Sunshine Coast back in July. He came through his grades. They knocked back a lot of money for this horse to set him for the Golden Eagle. So he has to show something here. And I think up to a mile, down to 52 kilos, if he's in the game at all for making the Golden Eagle field, he has to be competitive in this race. And I think he can be. I just think he brings a new kind of aspect to it. Unspoken, I feel like he might have had a mini birthday when he won last start. Mm. Every time he went for a run, it opened up for him, particularly on the inside. Look, he won. I think Altivo should have won that race. Not only because I was on him, but with 52 kilos, it represents a 6 kilo drop on his last start win. So he has to be respected. But for me, from a head-to-head point of view, I have to go with Cepheus.
Well, we're going to have to go head-to-head here because I really like Unspoken.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I was with him first up and second up. I think he's just gone to a new level, this preparation. It's the old second preparation in Australia, and he came in on a really good strong base and he's repeated that, and I think he can step again now third up. I think he just gets the perfect setup again. I know he had the perfect run there last start, but just I really liked his action late and just how he got through the line. Second fastest last 200 of the day. Yes, I know it was a slow pace and he was entitled to sprint home. But to a horse like this, when they get down on 52 kilos, they drop 6 kilos and they do have that acceleration late burst, they can really go right on with it when they get down to these feather weights. So that's a big plus for me, dropping 6 kilos. As I said before, he just gets the perfect map. 21 days again between runs, 1600 Remick again suits. Look, I probably actually would love to it to be an arc 1800 or that extra furlong or so, but I'm happy to... The 440 that went up would have been nice, but I still think he's a backable price at the 270. I really do. I think he's a great bet, unspoken, on the day. The other one that I'm going to... I will make a winner is Wild Planet. Now, this horse hasn't... I can't remember the last time it has won. It's been a very long time. But I thought he was solid there first up behind Redina, who, as we all know, is the Epsom winner. And then he comes out of that Cepheus race, where he's just wide and working, always out on a limb, and did fade. But if he can get back to that first up run, he's going to bowl forward in a race with not a lot of speed. I reckon the $12, $13, I could have something on him as well. But unspoken, clearly... the main bet of the race.
Wild Planet's last win, for the record, was 3 years ago. this weekend, actually.
He
won the Moonga Stakes in Melbourne, 1,400 metres, 1,099 days ago as of tomorrow. So that's quite a drought. It's quite a drought, but...
I'm a brave man. But obviously, unspoken, clearly on top, and I will have to have something on Wild Planet. Cepheus, as you said, is absolutely flying. Just the 9 kilo swing is just that margin too far for me. And massive fan of Aaron Bullock, but does lose Nash, who's won the last two times.
He has. Aaron won on him in the South Grafton Cup, so he's not unfamiliar. And look, I mean, Aaron Bullock was the leading jockey in Australia last season, so I'm sure anyone who's backing Cepheus, they'd love to have Nash on.
Yeah.
But Aaron Bullock will do the job pretty well. That 9 kilos is going to be interesting.
Yep. They just both land in the perfect spot as well.
Yeah.
All right, the fly in the ointment, and probably one of the more talked about horses for the spring, especially now, is Commemorative. Which way do you go? Do you charge into the even money or do you go somewhere else? Ray, Commemorative, the Godolphin Galloper, for the audience, it looks like a big colt, a taxi filly.
She's shades of Elise, I think. That good Godolphin mare from a few years ago, she was a massive unit, Elise, and Commemorative looks to be fairly similar. She is very interesting. She is the most interesting horse on the day, without a doubt. She has won a Canterbury Maiden in winter a six-horse field. She smashed them.
Yep.
A lot of the times, peoples and things like that sort of say it wasn't really that, that brilliant. And even James Cummings has come out and said, look, I know the form out of the race hasn't been any good at this point, but, this horse looks to be really above average. And we're going to find out. Now, she gets 52 kilos in a benchmark 78 against fillies and mares. And this reminds me of Sunshine in Paris.
Yeah.
You might remember, I think it was Christmas Eve, Zach Lloyd rode Sunshine in Paris in a benchmark 78 against fillies and mares. She'd had two starts. Won a Canberra Maiden, I think, was placed in a listed race in Brisbane.
Yep.
And she just sat back, got to the outside. This was when Zach was still claiming and she had 50 kilos on her back and just stormed down the outside. Now, this might well be what happens here. That was a 1,200 metre... benchmark 78 at Randwick.
Yep.
Exactly the type of race this is. So if Commemorative is... I mean, she's favourite for the 1,000 guineas or something like that? Or certainly
second favourite behind the great Arctic Glamour.
That's right. So, I mean, Arctic Glamour is another example. I mean, she was a maiden winner and then went on to win that listed race last week. I don't know how they're going to play this. Like, we're left at the moment with a field of around 9 or 10... in up against her. So do they just sit back and look to whip down the outside and pick them up, or do they put her into the race and take luck out of the equation? You've got Kazoo as the possible leader, and then you don't really have a whole lot of other high speed in the race, so it's not like she's just going to be able to sit back behind a strong tempo and just flood down the outside.
Yep. One thing I will say about, I've probably made this point before, when it comes to Godolphin, and the map is a little bit tricky, I'm more than happy to back their tactics, because I think they're probably, if not the best tactical stable going around.
Yeah.
Purely on a map.
Yeah, and I mean, the Randwick 1200 meter start as well, we've got to remember, is not a savage one to draw wide. I mean, obviously, you've still got to consider other factors in the race and how the race is run, but you can sit off the fence if you have to and, you know, just keep that rhythm. So it would be fascinating to see what they do. She hasn't shown, or they haven't allowed her to show a lot of speed in the two trials that we've seen. When she debuted, she sat third on the fence.
Yep.
Obviously from a good gate in a small field. Look, I'm with her, but I'd like to see some confidence stay with her in the lead up to the race. So I think certainly up until tomorrow morning or Saturday morning, when there's a lot of talk around about horses, there's going to be a lot of talk about her. There's a lot of hype around her.
Yep.
And that might see her sort of stay around the even, just tick into the red.
Yep.
But what happens on track, I think it's more significant, isn't it?
So yep, absolutely.
So look, I'm with her, but there is opposition here. You know, Overriding's a smart horse.
Yeah.
Kazoo's got ability. Don't know what to do with Junaquera. She's shown some ability as well. Rainbill's going okay. It's not like this is going to be a walk in the park. If she does come out and win by three pulling up, well, we might have a really good horse on her hands.
Yep.
So I'm happy to be with her, but do I want to charge in at the moment? Probably not.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really hot benchmark, 78. But yeah, Commemorative, I actually thought she ran solid enough time on debut. I know there's been a bit of talk about that. Against the day, I thought she went good. $1.60 clearly proved that. I'm not too worried about the form behind her. I thought she was ultra impressive, isolating her. The way she hit the line, she could only improve. I think the spell would have been a plus. Look, the way I see it is she can sit wide, but hopefully she gets a three wide running line and she'll just let rip down on the 52 kilos. I agree, $2 or $1.95, I think she is. I'm happy to wait. I'd rather get 6-4, but then you got to pull into the factor is that alarm bell. So I'm not trying to sit on the fence, but I am.
I'd love it if you could guarantee a three wide line, running line. I'm not sure that there's going to be. There's only nine. We've got nine runners. So the likelihood of there being 3-3-2 or something like that is probably small. I think they're probably, there's obviously only three choices. Go forward.
Yeah.
Sit outside the leader. Go back. Or just sit midfield three wide.
Yeah. I think also the key point is, if her grand final would be the 1,000 guineas, she's going to have to be forward enough to run a good race here.
Well, she's had two trials.
Yeah. They've been good trials. They're solid trials.
How would you know how forward she is? She's massive.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but we're all hoping she's this, you know, excitement machine that we can sort of follow through the rest of the spring and into the autumn. And look, you know, racing needs horses like that. Hopefully she is.
She does look like the tab lay of the day areas.
Oh, you'd almost guarantee it at the moment. Yeah. Look, one of the shorter price favourites of the day. There are negative or potential negatives, but does her potential quality outweigh the potential negatives? I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, so quickly, I do have her on top, but I agree with you Overriding. If you're looking for something a bit wider, maybe have something on it. Because I think it's a really nice horse, Overriding in time.
Well, Overriding actually beat Commemorative's half brother, Contemporary, when she won at Randwick back in
June.
That
was a big win too.
Look, she's a smart horse, Overriding, with that nice soft barrier. She's got to give Commemorative 7 kilos, but she's probably going to get a head start as well. So fascinating, and look forward to that race 5.
Okay, the rapid fire. Ray, over the odds.
Over the odds. Yeah, they've got a couple there I thought were good prices. Probably the last race was a horse I quite liked, Kabling, number 16. He did have his chance, obviously, second up there behind Loves Me Like a Rock, but gets right down in the weights here. He's certainly up to this sort of benchmark level at his best. And I went looking for something that was just going to get that perfect run in this race, and he just maps in a race that at the moment looks to be high pressure, to be fourth, fifth on the fence, right behind them.
Yep.
And look, if that gap opens up and he can get through, he might take some catching at, you know, at the moment I think he's around about the, you know, $10-$12 mark. I thought in a wide open race that was probably a good price. The other one I thought was overs was Cuban Royale, actually. Yep. He's a horse that, you know, doesn't obviously win often, but he doesn't often run bad races. And while there's a zero next to his name from his last start, we'll just overlook that. That was in the Alan Brown.
Is that type of horse in this meeting that will pop up?
Yeah, well, you go back two starts ago and he runs second to Redina in the Bill Ritchie. But he's always going to start good price. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he runs into the money at each way odds. So Kabling and Cuban Royale are probably the overs for me.
Yeah, mine's race four, number two, Promises Kept. I thought it was around that $10 mark. I thought it was worth a ticket. It might be one or two off, but I think the $10 is over the odds. I thought it just run first up, had a lot of merit. It was 3-4 wide, out on a limb. Yes, did have cover at stages, but then it really loomed into the race, ran a good 600 to 200 and just peaked on its run over the final furlong, as you would expect. First up, was a drifter in the market, so clearly just needed that run, but it shouldn't have been able to do what it did there first up. Look, second up, I think Jason Collett will probably just go back and hope for the gaps, but I think it's well over the odds. It started $7.50 in a Queensland Derby behind Kovalika, who obviously won that race. It's got really good form for a race like this, a benchmark 88. Yes, it's got to carry a lot of weight. But yeah, I think $10, I'm not going to let it go around without me, because if it comes out and win, it's going to be a lot shorter wherever it goes next start.
Yeah, for sure.
Under the odds,
I struggled to find one. I mean, I almost want to say Commemorative is under the odds because it's all hype, but
yeah,
we're both on her side and you know, expecting her to be close to even money or under. So I might take a pass on an under the odds for this one.
I'll charge straight in race one. I'll take on the favourite, the 300. Look, it'll go straight to the front, be hard to run down. But I thought the stablemate, Shangri-La Express, was more the value play in the race. Even Blue Illusion, I know it failed first up at Flemington, but it had issues. So Blue Illusion, $8. Shangri-La Express, $6.50. If you want to try and start the day with a bang, maybe spec one of those two. So I just thought the evens was extremely well found, the 300. Out wide, Ray?
To be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to go too far out wide at the moment. I was just scanning the Kembla Grange field. So I'll leave that to you, I think, there, Nick.
Yeah, I'm really keen on one there. Out of the whole meeting, this will be main bet of the whole weekend, actually, for me. Is race five, number 12, Reus. Forgive my pronunciation. I probably
might be Rhesus.
Rhesus, that sounds a lot better. Came back at Gelding. It was run to suit, but it's coming out of a huge time race. It accelerated hard. It probably actually needed the run. And just getting to that bigger track away from Wyong, it's got Dark Halo form, who's going to start probably favourite or second favourite in a smart race down in Melbourne. It's got Keenan form, who's come out and won at Kensington. And then you can start tying in these horses back to Griff if you want to go right into it, who's the Caulfield Guineas winner. So I think it's going to be very hard to beat. I think the $2.10 is, hopefully it's still there tomorrow after scratchings. I think it's a really good bet. I know it's short, but I think it's going to be very hard to beat.
Sounds good.
Best bets.
Yeah, look, I've gone, I won't say wide, but certainly a little bit of value for my best bet at Randwick. And it's in the Big Dance Wildcard, number 10, King of the Castle.
Yeah.
And good support for him, which is encouraging as well. And He did carry 63 first up at Rose Hill, and that was, you know, the run he had to have, I guess, you know, 1,300 metres. He worked the line okay. There wasn't really in it. But you go back last preparation, you know, he should have won the Coffs Harbour Cup. I don't think there's too much doubt about that. He was just held up in a vital stage. He was run down narrowly by Tazarel in an 88, which is not bad form, and should have won an 88 that Bold Mac won at Randwick back in July. Barrier 1 is great for him. He's got 52.5. I just see him being either behind the leader or three back the fence. Gets into the clear at the right time. I think he can run a great race in what is a wide open, I think, Big Dance wild card. And it's obviously been a target for him, and the support is there to say that he's going to run really well. So happy to be with him. And my other best, I would have made it best bet on the day, but I just really didn't want to make a $2.20 shot my best bet, and that's Marquis.
Yeah.
I think that this is just, I mean, I don't want to say it's a gimme, but it just looks to be his race. You've got two form lines, really. You've got the Mission Phoenix, Pirossa, Queenmaker race from Randwick, from Rose Hill a couple of weeks ago, which was an absolute slog over 2,000 metres. And then you've got this horse that's just been so dynamic.
Yeah.
And he put Pirossa away really easily there two starts ago. Then Pirossa came out and won. Sorry, it was last start for Marquis. I just think the form around him is great. And he's just going to land in, I think, a perfect position. I know he's drawn barrier 9, but I can see him landing about 4th or 5th one off the fence. And as long as he gets that cover, he's got that turn of foot that will be able to go past those ones that are bobbing up and down at the one time. So King of the Castle, a little bit of value, and Marquess probably the best bet.
Yeah, no, I can see what you're doing there. King of the Castle, I think it's down in the bottom of the weights. I've got it right up in my selections. But my two best bets are race 7, number 1, Unspoken. And of course, Kembla, race 5, number 12, Rhesus. There you go. It's only, I'll get that, I swear, by tomorrow, hopefully. All right, big day racing out there tomorrow. Good luck to everyone having a bet, and hopefully we can fill our pockets onto next week, Spring Champion Day.
Spring Champion Day, Golden Eagle, the big dance. Yep. There's still plenty to come. We definitely need to fill our pockets.